This week's message, given by Pastor Stephen Yun at the Second Sunday United Methodist Church, May 22, 2022. The message is Relationship, Sailing Through Life Together 4, based on 2 Timothy 3, 1-5, and Ephesians 4, 25-32.
It's good to be with you this morning. Would you join me as I pray? Loving, gracious God, we come to you this morning asking for your strength, guidance, and healing. No matter where we are in our relationships, Lord, we know that you are walking closely with us. Help us as we navigate the difficult waters of our relationship, our life. Fill our hearts with your wisdom and perseverance to take one day at a time with vision to reach the direction that you set before us. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So a little boy had just attended his first wedding, and after the ceremony, his mother asked him what he thought of it. Well, he said, "I was kind of surprised that the preacher said you could marry up to 16 women," the boy said. "What do you mean?" that his mother asked in shock. "Well, I just added it up," he said. "Four better, four worse, four richer, four poorers." So, well, 4 + 4 + 4 + 4 is 16, right? Four better, four worse, four richer, four poorer, in sickness, in health. We hear these words in most weddings. It is interesting, though, that this traditional vows include such words as worse, poorer, sickness. I mean, the wedding is a time of celebration and blessing, and couples come with dreams and hopes and enthusiasm for their future relationship. Wouldn't it be just nice to say that for better, for a richer in health? It might sound nice, but we know such a vow wouldn't reflect the true reality of marriage. Marriage is not always all it is cracked up to be. Like Donna mentioned in her video, marriage is not always pretty. I guess we can add two more words to it there: for prettier, for uglier. For better, for worse. Yes, it's a human tendency. It's a human tendency to think only of the better as if the worse is for others, not for ourselves. Most couples walk down the aisle with the hopeful wish that there will be the exception. One thing I always remind a couple as they enter a marital covenant is that there will be the worse. There will be the worse in their marriage, not only the better. But there will be the worst. I guarantee them there will be something unexpected, something unhappy, something undesirable, something that might shatter their dreams and joys as a married couple, something that might shake their commitment, even threaten the very foundation of their marriage. In marriage, there are the worst, and at times, the worst. Whether we like it or not, that's the reality. Just like a sailboat that leaves a port will be facing winds and waves on its journey, the sailboat moves along through the winds and waves, not in the absence of them. They move along in the midst of those winds and waves. Like a sailboat, sometimes our relationship might lose direction and drift away at the mercy of the ocean. This is why we talked about relationship goals that give us purposes and path for growth and perimeters. To move along through the winds and waves, a sailor must know how to read the direction of the wind and how to adjust and maneuver their sailboat in relation to the winds. And this is why we talked about different points of sailing. Remember we talked about different points of sailing. We started with faith, goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. You know, our relationship can and should take these eight different directions, different points of sailing, depending on the direction and speed of the wind facing us. When it seems that your love has ended, you no longer invest in your relationship, what is the point of sailing that you should take? Remember? Faith. Faith. When you see disrespect and dishonor increasing in your relationship, what's the point of sailing you need to take? Goodness. Right? When you face strong emotions or temptation arising in your relationships, what's the point of sailing that you need to take? Or reviewing, actually, last week's sermon. Hope you can remember. If you don't remember, go back and listen to it again, hopefully. Self-control. You see the temptations in your relationship that you have with someone, self-control. When you just want to quit, give up, Perseverance. When there is no space for God in your relationship, everything looks fine, beautiful, but there is no space for God in your relationship. What's the point of sailing you need to take now? Godliness, devotion to God. When you feel like you are sacrificing too much, mutual affection and love. That's the point of sailing you need to take. You know, these points of sailing give us the direction our relationship should take in the midst of strong winds and waves. You know, it could be our financial problem. It could be a relationship with in-laws. It could be, our different opinions about how to raise our children. It could be our struggle with our work. You know, those waves and winds always come to us. But as we are going through those winds and waves, you know, these points of sailing help us to clarify the range of courses our relationship should travel. Nonetheless, our relationship might end up taking the direction it shouldn't take. That happens, fortunately. It might end up being stuck in an area we never hoped and imagined we would be. And this is the zone I would like to call relational no-sailing zone. You know, here's sailing 101 again. You know, it's a universal fact of sailing that a sailboat cannot sail directly into no-go zone or no-sailing zone. It's a 90-degree zone called a no-sail zone. And experienced sailors know that, you know, it's a zone that you shouldn't travel to. In the same way, in our relationship, there is a zone that we as Christian sailors shouldn't travel to. What we call the relational no-go zone. Now, what would relational no-go zone look like in our actual relationships? Again, this is the zone that we shouldn't travel to and don't want to find ourselves in as a spouse, as a parent, as a friend. As we think about this relational no-go zone, I invite us to turn to the Second Timothy, which is a Paul's letter to Timothy, who was Paul's spiritual son, also a fellow servant of Christ. In this letter, Paul's main concern is the welfare of the early Christians in Ephesus under the persecution of the Emperor Nero. You know, what he does is to encourage their leader, Timothy, to guard the gospel, to persevere in it, and to keep on keeping on as a leader, as a disciple of Jesus Christ. In chapter 3 here, as you see from this slide, also in the bulletin, Paul says that in the last days there will be a difficult times, the times of difficulty. And he provides us with a list of things that might be the signs of the final days, the end times. What do you see in the first, in this list? What's the first in this list? Lovers of themselves. Lovers of themselves. You know, as one commentary notes, this first thing sets the tone for the others following in the list. It's all about self-centeredness. It's all about self-centeredness, which are all fruits of egoism and vice that we see in this list. What's the second in the list? Lovers of money, right? Lovers of money. Why do you love money? For what it can buy you, right? What's the third thing in the list? Being boast, right? Be boast. What do you boast about?
Yourself,
right? Yourself. What are you proud about? The fourth thing. What are you proud about? Yourself. Your own accomplishments, right? Why abusive? Why someone becomes abusive? Because you gotta be the one who controls. Why do you disobey parents? Because you think you know better. Why are you unthankful? Ungrateful? Because you always think you deserve more. Why are you a traitor? Why are you become a traitor? Because you place your own interest above the interest of others, your spouse, your friends, your partner. Why do you love pleasure? Says the pleasure, the lovers of pleasure, right? Why do you become a pleasure? Lovers of pleasure. Because of how it makes you feel. But friends, as you look at this list, what is your own assessment? Do you think we're living the last days? It's like Paul writes in this letter. Yeah. Are we in the end times? Maybe, maybe not. Again, we know we do not know the time. Only God knows. That's why we need to be alert and awaken. But interestingly, this list gives us a clear picture of the final days or final stages of people's relationship, whether it's a marriage or partnership or friendship. When a relationship is falling apart and breaking down, we see these characteristics, we see these signs described in this list. If you take a closer look at this list, I hope you could think of 8 points of sailing mentioned in 2 Peter. This list in 2 Timothy is what is completely opposite to the list in 2 Peter. Just saw the 8 points of sailing, right? The truth is, when we continue failing to take the right point of sailing in our relationship journey, we might end up being stuck in the relational no-go zone. If that is the case with any of you here, please know that you are not alone, and God knows what you're going through. Again, He wants to be your coastal guide. He wants to be your pilot. God wants our relationship journey to be our healthy and godly ones and reach the final destination, which is complete unity. I got this shirt from one of our church family as a gift. It has a sail-shaped design on it, which reminds me of the importance of different sails in our relationship journey. As we travel through strong tides and waves and winds on the seas of life, we need to equip ourselves with different sails. Our sailboat, our relationship needs a different sails to maneuver, to move along in this relationship journey. You know, so this morning I'm going to talk about three essential sails that help us not to be stuck in no-go zone. These three essentials are important, especially to those stuck in no sailing zone and want to get out of it. But these three essentials also apply to those of you who want to keep your relationship healthy and godly and to deepen connections with your loved ones. Now, many of you know how much I love acronyms, right? I frequently use the acronyms for my message. I would call these three essential sales ABC, ABC sales. You've got to use them constantly in your relationship to move along. If you don't use them appropriately or not at all, it's possible that your sailboat doesn't get anywhere and might end up being in no-go zone. You know, every sermon I preach is a message to myself. I intend to make myself the first listener, the first audience of my sermon. That's part of the reason why I like to use the acronyms frequently, because it helps me to remember the heart of the message. As a pastor, as a father, as a husband, I also need to grow in these three essentials, ABC. And God helps me to realize that I need to make changes to deepen my relationship with those around me. And I hope you do the same. So first essential sail, starting with A, is accountability. Accountability. The accountability is about taking responsibility for our words and actions in relationship. You know, when things go wrong, didn't go our way in our relationship, our initial reaction might be point our fingers at others, blame each other. That's our human tendency, rooted in our sins and brokenness. Blaming does many things. First, it gives us kind of a illusion that we are in control. It gives us a false comfort that we are not accountable. But by blaming others, you deflect responsibility because you are part of the problem always. That's exactly what Cain did when God asked him the question, "Where is your brother?" Remember the question that God asked? You know, he could have responded in ways that show what it means to be a responsible member of God's family. He could have said to God, "Lord, I've done a terrible thing. Please forgive me." But we know Cain's answer was a flat denial, lack of accountability, and even blaming his brother and God for what happened. He refused to take any responsibility toward his brother and for what he did. Certainly each of us needs to take responsibility for our own lives. We know that. Many of the choices and decisions we make every day, we are accountable for them. Whether we acknowledge it or not, what we do and say affects others around us. What this means is that in certain respect, we are accountable for what happens to those around us, and we are called to work out what our accountability involves. When you are dealing with a conflict or in a heated argument with someone, here's one way you can show and live out accountability, sense of accountability. And this, start your conversation with this statement. This statement is recommended by some of the Christian counselors. So listen. Start with the statement. "I'm sorry. I was only thinking of myself." "I'm sorry, I was only thinking of myself." How many of you said these words to someone this past week? or this past month, this past year. Maybe you all are doing a great job in your relationship. Hope so. Well, you know, it's hard to say. It's hard to say. But it makes a sea change in the conversation that you're going to have, especially when you are dealing with conflict and when you are in a heated conversation, because it's about recognizing, admitting about self-centeredness. That we just read the scripture passage from the 2 Timothy, right? Self-centeredness was all the root. It was the root of all the list that we take a look. It's about seeing our blind spots and limitations and being accountable for them. Friends, if you find yourself in relational no-go zone today, be accountable to what led you there. You know, make changes in the way you relate to the person. Ask for forgiveness if you need to. Some of you joined a Bible study on forgiveness this past Wednesday, and we talked about a complexity we're dealing with when it comes to forgiving others. You know, there are people who hurt us and who never ask for forgiveness. There are people who hurt us and those who ask for forgiveness, but we cannot still move on, right? There are different categories of people that we're dealing with. Also, you know, there are people, when it comes to forgiveness, we tend to think of whom we need to forgive only. You know, we're not seeing ourselves as the one who asks for forgiveness. Whether we acknowledge it or not, we recognize it or not, we also could hurt others. So we could be the one who asks for forgiveness. If you feel you cannot handle this issue, you know, I would strongly encourage you to seek for the professional help. If you don't know where to begin, contact me. I'll do my best to find and connect you to the right resources. Secondly, the B here represents the boundary. The boundary. Many of us feel like boundaries impede our ability to show Jesus in our relationship, but the lack of boundaries can actually hurt our relationship with God and others. One of the things mentioned in Paul's letter is the lovers of pleasure, rather than lovers of God. When you become a lover of pleasure, what happened is that you cross the boundary. You will do whatever that gives you the pleasure, you will cross the boundary that you shouldn't cross as a spouse, as a partner, as a friend. Boundaries can be hard if you are not used to them, but they are necessary for a healthy, godly relationship. Especially couples should set healthy and egalitarian boundary, mutual boundary, so no should be accepted when it's said by a spouse. As you're going through, see through the midday devotional, you're going to get a receive a devotional this week about these three essential sales. So hopefully you can apply them to your own relationship this week. You know, it may be difficult in the beginning, but practicing boundaries in our lives will help strengthen our relationship. Excuse me. Lastly, I'm going to move quickly. C represents communication. When it comes to communication, people's main concern might be fighting less and having less conflict. Gina Sinarici, counselor and relationship coach, wrote a book on relationship. In her book, she says that over 90% of her clients say that they want to overcome communication issues around conflicts. Over 90%. So they either hate the way they argue or fight, or they don't know how to fight cleanly and face or have healthy conflict. There was a young couple who had just graduated from college and decided to get married. And during marital counseling, they were asked about their relationship. And the bride-to-be said, "We've got a great relationship, Pastor." It was my fiancé was a communication major in college, and I majored in theater. He communicates really well, and I just act like I am listening. You know, some people avoid conflict and pretend everything is okay when everything is not okay. So the resentment builds up until they erupt. What are the good ways of communication? How can you grow in communicating difficult issues? Verse 29 gives us a starting point. Do not let any unwholesome talk to come out of your mouth, but only the words that builds others up. It gives us the first step to the healthy, godly communication. And you're going to see more principles this week through the devotional. Friends, if you see yourself be stuck in no sailing zone and become complacent in it, reset your direction. Raise up a sail of accountability, boundary, and communication. Move away from no sailing zone. Remember, as Christians, we have a paradoxical nature, both as a sinner and the saints. We are not sinners running toward sin, but sinners running toward God and toward godly life and relationships. We cannot take the two routes at the same time. What this means is that we got to be determined to turn away from no-go zone and reach the direction that God has set for us. We got to be determined to head in the direction that God wants us to take. As you go forth, I want to invite you to continue to think about these three essential sales. There could be more, you know, that can help your relationship, but there are three essentials that I would like to continue to invite you to continue to think about this week so that we could live a healthy and godly relationships. Amen.